Well, I'm sitting here at the Omni Sports in Apeldoorn in the Netherlands, just near Amsterdam, on the eve of the 2016 Giro d'Italia, the 99th Giro. And sitting next to me is Gregor Brown, contributor for Cycling Weekly and Velo News. And we're travelling together again, Gregor. And here we are at the start of another Giro. What's your feel for this Giro compared to other Giros?
It's really all on Nibali's shoulders. To win or to lose, the pressure is on Vincenzo Nibali, the Italian, who's won all three Grand Tours so far. He's won the 2013 Giro d'Italia. So I think the pressure is for him and his Astana team to win this race. And he has also, I think, the pressure to perform and give Astana that kind of big parting gift, because the rumors are out there that he's leaving to a Middle Eastern team already for... the rumors are already out there that he's leaving for a Bahrain team in 2017. So I think he wants to do well for Astana and get that win. And he is the clear favorite, because if you look at the guys underneath him, Valverde's never won a Grand Tour. He's come close before. He's 36, I think, making his debut in the Giro. And then you have Landa, who's come close last year in third, but he's never won a Grand Tour. So Nibali is the guy with experience and the pressure.
It was interesting yesterday, Gregor, when the GC contenders with Nibali, Landa, you know, they were having their press conferences, and interesting how Astana were trying to say, as the points you just said, that, you know, with Valverde's inexperience in the Giro, that could go against him. And also they seemed to play down what strengths Landa may have because he is an ex-teammate of Nibali. I mean, do you think that's just mind games, or do you think, you know, it's just Grand Tour talk, and really we'll just see what happens on the road?
I think it is mind games, because when you get down to the mano a mano fight on some of those big climbs, it's the legs that make the difference. I know, like with Richie Porte, when he left to go to BMC, people were talking about whether or not he would have the possibility to. Rupert, I have a call.
Please take it. You're listening to What a Ride, and we'll speak to Gregor Brown as soon as he comes back after this call. We're going to listen to some music ourselves in the meantime. I'm sitting here with Gregor Brown, who was just taking a little personal call on his mobile phone. It's busy days here on a Grand Tour, and in the meantime, we're listening to some great music, a nice selection from Aaron S. Lee. He loves his music, and that was a nice piece. But in the meantime, welcome back, Gregor, and we won't ask you what the call was about, but is that another one coming? We were talking about Richie Porte.
Busy days at the Giro d'Italia.
Busy days. We were talking about the Richie Porte factor as an example of what happens when you switch teams.
Yeah, and, you know, so Sky will have some... Excuse me.
Landa's going to be leading Sky this year in the Giro, and last year when Richie had the opportunity to lead Sky, you know, there was different pressures, even different circumstances, I guess, you can face, but I guess it's how you handle those circumstances, and that's going to be a major challenge for Lander, isn't it, in the leadership role?
Yes. Nibali, they know how Lando works. It's the same way that Froome is going to know how Richie Porte works in BMC. But when they get on those mountains, that's where we'll see the legs do the talking, and it'll come down to the legs. And it sounds like Nibali really fears Mikel Landa in the mountains, and he really considers him a true contender in the mountains. And the thing is that he lost 4 minutes last year in the Prosecco time trial. I know, Rupert, you remember that because we had a nice dinner that night afterwards.
Yes.
With the local Prosecco group. So this year we're in Chianti, and there's a long time trial where Landa, if he loses 4 minutes to Nibali, the race is over. But Nibali's not a great time trialist to the level of Alberto Contador, but Landa's going to have to limit his losses to be able to keep into the fight for the pink.
What do you think, I guess, you know, they did say yesterday the Chianti time trial will be, I guess, the first level of who's going where, and we'll probably be enjoying a good bottle of Chianti that night when we talk about the fallout. But what do you think of someone like Valverde? Do you think he's going to be absolutely concerned at all about his inexperience in this race, or do you think he's just going to be the old dog who's going to, you know, he's got enough intel in his head of how to race a race, even though he hasn't raced the Giro?
Yeah, he knows how to race a race. He'll get on the podium, I think, for sure, like he did with Quintana there before. In the Tour de France, he got on the podium with Quintana. But Valverde, I don't think he's going to be contender for the overall. Dumoulin's going to put on a show in Chianti, and Nibali's going to try to put time into his immediate rival, so it's Landa. And Nibali and Lando both lose time to Dumoulin, but then everybody wonders how far Dumoulin will go into this Giro, and then if he does make it into the big mountains, how well he can do in those big Italian alpine passes. We saw him last year in the Vuelta, but those were different climbs, and people are saying that he's not quite suited to the big Giro passes. So Valverde, no. I think we can kind of rule him out as an overall favorite, one for the title, but he is one for the podium.
You obviously, Tom Dumoulin will have those three time trials, as you said, to help him. What about, you know, and you mentioned about how he performed in the Vuelta last year. Esteban Chavez, he had a good crack at the Vuelta last year, fifth overall. A Giro is going to be much different, though. You're going to have longer stages, harder stages, and you're going to have colder weather as a part to the Vuelta where you principally had warmer weather. But Chavez has been in Colombia preparing for this Giro. The Orica Greenwich team are sort of trying to style themselves around being able to look after a GC contender. Do you think he's got a chance of a top five? Would that be unrealistic? Or do you think, as Matt White, his sports director, says, they'd be happy with a top 10? Or is Matt White just playing a safe game?
I think he's playing a safe game. Rupert, it's hard to stay focused because we're here in the same press conference room with Marcel Kittel, and he just walked outside on to have a look at the Apeldoorn track where they've hosted, I think, a World Championships, if not World Cups, before for the UCI. And it's where the Velodrome, they'll start here from the Velodrome tomorrow, and that's where Chavez will start his Giro d'Italia, the 99th Giro d'Italia. Matt White could be playing safe by saying, what, top 5, top 10 for Chavez, but Chavez will really try to fight for the win and for a podium spot. And we think he can do it because he has that fight that we saw last year in the Vuelta a España. And this Giro, apart from Nibali, seems to be a wide-open Giro. Nibali is the only favorite, but behind Nibali, it's a wide-open fight. And so there are chances for Dumoulin, for your Chavez, for guys like this to make their mark. And we haven't talked about Rigoberto Urán or Rafael Maika, these other guys that are out there too. So the whole thing could shake up. If Nibali has a bad day, then you get a wide-open Giro, which is what makes often the Giro so exciting, is you get these unpredictable results you don't quite get in the Tour de France. And so that's why I said from the onset that the pressure is on Vincenzo Nibali.
Last question, Gregor, because we can see the security here are eyeing us off, and yes, we're sitting around. But we just had the Marcel.
Security are tough. They forced us into 2 minutes of silence yesterday for remembering the Dutch veterans, in which we did respect immediately. but I think that went into like 7 minutes of silence. But the security guard's eyeing us again, so we might have to have some radio silence here in a minute. So get on to your question, Rupert.
Okay, yeah, I think I just bargained a couple of more minutes. very nice of them here. The just last question, we've been here sitting here at the Marcel Kittel press conference, or ethics team press conference. Kittel said some interesting things. You know, a lot of attention is going to be on his chances to, or probability to win a stage. We'll go that far. He's in great form this year. Another German who's going to be here is André Greipel from Lotto Belisol. And he had a chat with Aaron S. Lee at the Tour of Turkey, which we're going to listen to after the next piece of music, the next break. What do you think about André Greipel and what he can do here?
Well, Greipel is going to be up there for the sprints, and he's gone well in the Giro d'Italia before, and he had his big breakthrough win there in Locarno, I think it was, when we weren't sure if it was supposed to be for Mark Cavendish or for Greipel, and that was when they were in the high road days, and the tension was running high in those days. I remember Bob Stapleton was trying to, you know, keep those guys both cool and collected. I think that was in 2011, maybe. Greipel's one of the super sprinters here with Marcel Kittel, but, you know, we have the A-list of sprinters here, minus maybe like a Mark Cavendish. Everyone's here, DeMar and Viviani, these guys that are going to put on quite a show. And the guy that Marcel Kittel failed to mention twice, and I got him on it later, was that he didn't talk about the Australian Caleb Ewan, 21 years old, and it's coming up like a rocket. And I think everybody fears him, and I think even Marcel Kittel fears him. And Marcel Kittel seems to think that he's going to go on for the points jersey, which, Rupert, you seem to have some insider information that Caleb may not quite be going for the points overall points jersey.
Well, I just sort of think it's going to be a hard challenge for him ahead with these first Giro.
Yeah.
If you know, I think it'd be a wiser call for him just to sort of just take the first 12 days and then sort of see how they're placed by then. But I'm sure a lot of sprinters will be thinking how they're placed after the first 12 days, because we're pretty close to an airport, and they would have had some hard racing by then. Gregor Brown, thanks very much for being on. What a ride. I'm sure we'll listen to you later in the Giro. I think we're going to have a good time again.
Yeah.
No arguments?
No arguments.
No.
We'll be at the end of the Giro, we'll say, what a Giro.
Well, there we go. You've listened to Gregor Brown from Cycling Weekly and Velo News. I'm Rupert Guinness. We're going to take a little bit of a break, and after the break, we're going to listen to Aaron S. Lee speaking exclusively with André Greipel. Lee, producing for Australian Broadcasting Media. This edition of the show is focusing on the Giro d'Italia. What's the Giro d'Italia? It's the second biggest bike race in the world of cycling, and it's the first of the three Grand Tours of cycling. Grand Tours being 3 week races that come very close to encompassing 3,500 kilometres. The other two races being the Tour de France in July and then the Vuelta a España in August. Now, this year's Giro is the 99th edition of the Italian race, and it's starting in the Netherlands of all places. Where I'm reporting now, me being Rupert Guinness, is in Apeldoorn, the Dutch town near Amsterdam, and that's where the first stage will be held on Friday, a 9.8-kilometre individual time trial. Then there's going to be two stages for the sprinters on Saturday and Sunday, before the race transfers to its homeland, Italy, on Monday, and then resumes on Tuesday. This year's race has got an interesting field, to say the least. In the overall classification, the race for the pink jersey, the race overall leader's pink jersey, or Maglia Rosa, we've got the likes of Vincenzo Nibali, who won the race in 2013. He also won the Tour de France in 2014, and this is going to be his first return to the Giro since his win in 2013. But other contenders include the likes of Alejandro Valverde, Mikel Landa, Esteban Chavez, Rafael Majka, Rigoberto Urán, and Domenico Pozzovivo. Amongst the sprinters, who we'll see come to the fore as soon as Saturday, we've got the Germans Marcel Kittel and André Greipel. We've also got Sascha Modolo, Giacomo Nodolo, Caleb Ewan, who is one of 10 Australians in this year's race, Elia Viviani, Heinrich Hausler, another Australian, and André Donneau. A lot of those names we're going to hear about over the next few weeks, and I'm sure we're going to hear about others as well. In this edition of What a Ride, though, we've got some interesting names we're going to hear from. My co-host in crime on this show, Aaron S. Lee, he's going to be speaking exclusively with André Greipel and also with Adam Hansen, who is another Australian in the race. Hansen and Greipel are teammates on the Lotto Belisol team, and Aaron caught up with them during the recent tour of Turkey. Anyway, let's get cracking with the show. Let's kick up a gear. This is the Giro special for What a Ride.
This one goes out to the one I've left behind. A simple prop to occupy my time. This one goes out to the one I love. Fire! This one goes out to the one I've left behind. A simple prop to occupy my time. This one goes out to the one I love. Fire!
First things first, you haven't been to the Tour Down Under in 2 years. Everyone's missing you down in Australia. Where have you been?
I mean, for sure, it's because of different reasons. Just the focus is a bit more different with taking part in the Giro d'Italia last year, and being able to try something different, to be good in the classics, which worked out for the whole team because we changed the whole Tour Down Under team to be good for the classics. We were good last year without a proper result, but still we were on a good level. And this year, obviously, the World Championships is in October, so it's no use to start racing in January then. So that was the main reason why I went out there this year.
But do you miss coming down to Australia? Because you got a lot of fans down there. They love you.
It's painful. So therefore, I want to come back.
So you think there's a chance that you may be able to go back there before your career is over?
Yeah,
that's
guaranteed.
You know, you talk about the Giro and being ready for that 7 sprint stages this year. It's going to be a lot of good opportunities. Are you excited?
It's the worst beginning of the season ever in my career broken ribs, and was not able to train like I wanted. Especially I couldn't focus on sprint training, as it was just impossible to do. Still, I know I'm not on the level I used to be for the sprints, but I'm still good and try to do my best for the sprints.
Does that just come with age, or just?
No. I'm back in my sprint training, so it for sure gonna come back. It's not about the age, because I haven't had a year where I was not able to push myself to higher limits.
You know, you're back here in Turkey. It's your 7th year to race here. You had great success here today in some horrible conditions to get that Stage 3 win. How has the race changed over the last 7 years? I know the race has taken a little bit of heat in the media for sending out late invites, not allowing you guys to know about the race profile ahead of time. How has the race changed, and what do you think about this year's race now that you're here?
I mean, there's always something to improve, I would say, but I think for the organization, for us riders, it's just the safest way in Istanbul to make a closed circuit for us. That would be the best for everyone, without having big crashes or something. But all the rest, I have to say, it's like it was used to be. Stages are good. Now we have 2 new stages, or 3 new stages. So we're going to see how they are, especially the roads. Today the roads were really good. So obviously they trying their best. Even the organization team changed. Therefore, I think it's hard for them to copy the other organizations, as it was a running system. And I mean, for me, it's good to come here just to prepare the Giro d'Italia.
You know, obviously, they talk a lot always for the past few years about this race becoming a World Tour race. Do you see that this is a race that could potentially take that step?
I think with all those bad media in the past weeks, I think will be really hard to have this World Tour next year. But I think for sure it's going to be possible for the upcoming years.
You know, what keeps you motivated? You know, I know you've got to rush off to a team meeting, but just real quickly, what keeps you motivated after all these years? You've had so many successful years, so many great wins. You talked about it today on the podium, wishing that you'd almost had a teammate stand on the podium today. What still motivates you personally?
I mean, it's passion. I love this sport, and I love to challenge myself. And I think I'm just still living my dream, being a professional rider. And I mean, I just enjoy to be part of the team. I mean, it's my family. a part of my own family, but yeah, I just enjoy every day and every day of racing.
You've had a great career spanning great rivalries with the Mark Cavendish and the like, and now the guys like Marcel Kittel, and a young guy coming into the Giro this year for the first time, Caleb Ewan, an Australian. Any thoughts about those guys going into the next race or competing against them?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's impressive the way they are sprinting. For sure, they're going to have a big future in front of them. And
Any advice for those guys as far as having a long career and achieving that success, a little bit of longevity?
I always say to myself, never forget where you come from, and then everything's going to work out.
Andre, it's always great to see you. Congrats on the win again today, buddy.
Thank you.
Can't wait to see you again.
See you.
Well, that was an interesting interview that Aaron had with Andre Greipel, the German sprinter on the Lotto Belisol team. Greipel's obviously feeling very happy about himself and of his chances in this Giro, and certainly he'll be giving the likes of Marcel Kittel certainly a shake-up, to say the least, if he doesn't beat him. These two guys, Kittel and Greipel, they have very strong lead-out teams. They're big and strong riders, and it's going to be really interesting to see how dominant they are against some of the smaller sprinters in the peloton, such as Caleb Ewan, who's going to be competing in his first Giro. Caleb Ewan, as we said before, is one of 10 Australians in this race, and he won a stage on his Grand Tour debut in last year's Vuelta a España, the Tour of Spain, but this is going to be his first Giro. It's going to be the first time he's come up against such a strong depth of sprinters in the field. But another Australian in this field is Adam Hansen. Now, Adam, he is the man who just backs up Grand Tour after Grand Tour. He's the record holder for the number of Grand Tours, but he's also a very interesting character. Now, as I said, it wasn't only Greipel that my co-host Aaron Essley spoke to during the Tour of Turkey. He also spoke to Adam Hansen, who fine-tuned his preparation for the Giro at the recent Tour of Turkey. And one thing is certain, that Adam is always a guy who'll have a say in the race. He'll be doing his darnest to help Greipel win stages, but he's won a stage of the Giro d'Italia as well himself. So should the opportunity arise in stages that are not suited to the sprinters, certainly Aaron would be someone who the team would be willing to allow to have a crack at an opportunity as it arises. The fact that he's done it before and pulled it off shows that he can deliver. But nonetheless, his first job will be to help Greipel in these early stages. But Aaron had an interesting chat with him, so let's take a break, and after the break we'll come back and have a listen to what he had to say to Aaron. On a hippie trailhead full of zombies, I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under, where women go and men plunder? Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover. Buying bread from a man in Brussels. He was 6'4" and full of muscle. I said, do you speak my language? He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. And he said, I come from a land down under, where rivers flow and men chunder. Can you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover. Yeah.
City we're in, actually?
We talked about this, didn't we?
Best question.
Aaron Lee here with Adam Hansen. Adam, we're literally on the sands in a very romantic situation underneath a straw umbrella in what we are contemplating is either the Mediterranean or the Aegean Sea.
That's right. We're in Turkey.
We are in Turkey, yes. And I'm going to have to put you on the spot. What city are we in?
I have no idea.
You have no idea. Me neither. And I got to be honest with you, I just wrote the city's name in the dateline of my story for the race report here at stage 7. Oh, Mamaris?
Sounds good.
Oh, sounds good. We'll go with it. Adam, how you doing?
That's good.
Like, it's been a great year. It's always a good year for you. You're always smiling. You're always happy. I see you here in Turkey. You're enjoying the experience. What race is this? Like your 14th, 15th one now? No, see, I mean, it just seems like you're always here.
Yeah, I always here. Yeah, I always ask to do this race, and I really enjoy that. I'll come back next year and also in the years to come.
Yeah.
I really enjoy doing Turkey.
You know, it is a good race, and we've had a great time. Listen, I think all of our good stuff we've actually expended over the last couple of days and talking off the record. Yeah. But that said, it's been an interesting race because it's under new organization. And because it's under new organization, there's been a couple of things that have been a little bit out of the norm, like basically flights the day before the opening stage, or perhaps that you didn't know the parkours until the actual, when you started up on the start line, you signed on. Other than that, there's been some hotel snafus, and there's been a lot of anger here as far as people, whether it be not so much the cyclists, I think, but the organization, the volunteers, the media. It's gotten quite ugly, and you and I have actually taken a back seat to this and just kind of watched it unfold. Talk to me about this.
It's actually funny you say that, because it's very true what you say. From a cyclist's point of view, we haven't seen any difference. The only thing that has changed from the organisation is, like what you said, we saw the website was only up, I think, 1 week before. We didn't really know the profiles until the day we got here. This was the only downside, but from a cycling point of view, as a cyclist point of view, there has been no real, no real difference from the previous years. I've heard, and yeah, we saw some dramas at the hotels with the media and the organisers getting rooms and that. Okay, they had a lot of stress there. I've done a few interviews, and I've noticed that a lot of people are trying to get negative information from me to say some bad things about the organizer, but what I do know is it's a new organizer. I've heard they're not very good, but from a cyclist point of view, it's just been the same race like every other year, and I know the riders are happy and we're enjoying it.
Well, let's cut to the chase, Adam. Really, how bad are these guys?
Well, no. I have no idea. This is what I'll say. Some of the interviews I've had, I've had journalists try and get something negative out of me. And for me, it's like, I don't want to say something bad because, one, I don't really know the bad things that are happening, what everyone's talking about. People waiting for the rooms a little longer, that's not the end of the world. And two, if I say something about the organizer, it's bad about the race. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, the race is not bad. And I don't want to put a bad name on the race because I love this race. And the race is really nice. And we've had wonderful stages, great weather. It's been spectacular racing. You would never guess the winners and the top 10 riders happening at their placing at the moment. So, you know, it's been, you know, we've had great stages. It's been wonderful here. So, for me, I don't think you should say anything about the organizer, because it's not the organizer you're paying out, it's the race you're paying out. And there's nothing wrong with this race. It's been a great race so far.
Yeah, but let's face it, you get some pretty VIP treatment when you rock in. I mean, I'm getting like two and a half hours later. And by the way, thank you for sitting with me the other day, washing my luggage while I went to the restroom. You did me a big favor on that. Now, that said, you left me to go eat dinner.
Yes.
You came back. I was in a bind again.
Yep.
And I did put this out on social media. I didn't hear back from you, I got to be honest. But you didn't, and I made a point to let you know that I hadn't gone to the bathroom again. You left me hanging, literally. What was the deal on that?
I just got back on Twitter, as you noticed, and I just followed you.
You did? Listen, I got to say, because this may not ever make the actual Twitter feed, but we just discussed this. I am literally one of four people you follow.
You're one of four?
One of four. Can you tell me the other three? Because they were a very eclectic group.
Actually,
I know one science porn. Which, by the way, this will drop on iTunes after it airs on Sydney FM radio. I'm not sure if the iTunes explicit restrictions apply to that now, but if so, we can fix that, Rupert Guinness, in post-production. Go ahead.
And the other two, I hope it's Hansino, which is my clothing.
Actually, no, it's not.
No, it's not.
Maybe
you shouldn't say the others. I don't know what they are.
Well, no, I don't either. I got on my screen cap because I was. But no, I do know. I just remember the science form, and I do know that Hansino is not one.
I should be. I'll have to go and check. Actually, I went on Twitter and I just unfollowed everyone. So
okay. Well, how long did that process take?
That took more than I thought it would.
Twitter doesn't make it easy, does it?
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. What is this Hansino you speak of? I've heard about it for a few years. What is this thing that is this Hansino?
It's something.
Yeah. Enough about you. Listen, we're talking. We're here. We are literally. And if you're listening here in Sydney and obviously around the world through iTunes, you may hear crashing waves. When we said earlier that we are literally on the sands of the Mediterranean, we are what?
3-4 meters.
Is that what a meter? That's 3-4 meters?
Yeah. American.
Yeah, actually, it's about 3-4 meters away from the water. You've had a very, obviously, relaxing race because you haven't really contended much. that said, all joking aside, you this is probably going to be one of your best finishes ever here at the race.
Can I make a bet on that?
What?
Can I make a...
No, please do, yes.
I'm going to prove you wrong 1 year.
Okay, well, there you go. We do have one more stage remaining.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to fall off tomorrow and finish like 100th, and then I could do a better race next year.
Oh, well, there you go. I would expect anything less. Now, that said, I saw, and you showed it to me, but I saw a really interesting video on Twitter following yesterday's race, because you actually threw a bit of a tantrum.
A little.
A little. You did. It was something about move...
Get out the way.
Can you just walk us through that a bit?
You want the long version?
No, because I heard the long version last night.
Yeah, so I had a mechanical, and I couldn't work out on the spot what was the problem, so I was taking my time. I was trying to diagnose everything.
It really did feel like you were taking your time on video. Yeah, go ahead.
I was, actually. And my car wasn't there, and the car had come up, and the...
Well, no, I'd rather you not. Okay. I'd actually rather you not say Eurosport.
Okay.
Yeah, so with your balloon quotes that you just gave.
The TV camera on the motorbike that puts coverage in most of Europe stops right next to my team car door. So my mechanic couldn't get out. So he went, and I'm telling the motorbike nicely, can you please move out of the way? Because, you know, 2.5 kilometers to go, I did start the conversation with 180 heart rate.
Yeah.
And I was, I didn't throw my bike at the rider.
You didn't. What keeps you coming back here? What do you really love most about Turkey?
I like how we say it's a holiday race. And that doesn't mean easy racing, because we were joking about it. It's definitely not easy racing here, but it's really good preparation for me for the Giro, and it's good weather, it's hot, and I think it's a good race to build form.
Do you miss the mountain bike at all? I mean, obviously, two-time Crocodile Trophy winner.
I do miss doing the Crocodile Trophy.
Yeah.
I would like to go back there one year. It's a wonderful race. It's good to be in the Outback Australia. It's something really different, and I really recommend for the Euros to do it because it's a good way to see Australia. And for me, when I did the Crocodile Trophy, it's parts of Australia I never saw before.
Yeah.
So in this way, it's really good. It's a lot of fun. But for me, the problem is the timing. It's at the end of the season. I've had enough of riding my bike, and I always say, I'm going to do it. And then when the season finishes, I'm like, maybe when I retire from cycling.
I hope we catch up again next year.
Sounds good.
And always a pleasure, bud.
See you then.
You're listening to What a Ride with Rupert Guinness and Aaron S. Lee. Well, that's our Giro d'Italia preview edition. All that remains to be followed now is how the Giro unfolds. Hope you enjoyed this preview edition of What a Ride. I'm really excited about what's going to happen over the next few weeks. I'm hopeful you are too. I know Aaron S. Lee is. And Gregor Brown, my colleague on the road here in the Giro d'Italia, he's certainly excited. And as you can tell from the words of Andre Greipel and Adam Hansen, two of the key riders in this year's race, they are too. So that's it from me, Rupert Guinness, and Aaron S. Lee and Gregor Brown on this edition of What a Ride. Thanks for listening. We hope you've really enjoyed it, and stay tuned for more editions of the show as the Giro unfolds. In the meantime, take care of yourselves, stay safe, keep smiling, and enjoy every day, because it's a great thing we've got, this thing called life. You get one crack at it, so let's all make the best of it. In the meantime, as I always say, what a ride it is, and also a meter matters. Stay safe on the road, whether you're driving or cycling or walking. Thanks for listening.